Hello, this is Daryl Bigger, speaking to you from the campus of Walla Walla University, and spending some time with you talking about the Bible study lessons for January. The subject this quarter is Jesus Wept, the Bible and Human Emotions. With me today in the studio are Julian Melgosa and Larry Viverka. Larry has been a longtime member of the theology faculty, now works as a relief hospital chaplain at the local hospital. And Julian Melgosa is chair, dean, actually, they call you, I think, now, Julian, dean of the School of Education and Psychology here on campus. We're very glad that you joined our faculty several years ago from your previous position as president of the Adventist International Institute in the Philippines. We have a special treat this quarter during these weekly visits for the next 3 months because Julian is the one who authored these particular study guides. And if you are listening and do not have what we in Adventist circles refer to as our Sabbath School lesson quarterly, I would encourage you to contact your local Adventist church and get a free copy of these study guides with which you can follow week to week the lessons for that week. Julian, first of all, I'm interested in how it is this subject came up as the topic for our discussions for the quarter, particularly since it's an unusual sort of approach. We're used to more focused scriptural study, and this is something a half step away from that.
Well, I think it is pretty focused scripture. What happens is that it is unusual to have a topic that I call it mental and emotional health. Now, then I think the committee moved it to Jesus Wept. It came because I had the understanding that a topic like this would help a great deal of individuals out there. And we are moving towards an expansion of mental disorders and emotional lack of stability. And I thought that that was a very good idea. So I came up with two lessons as samples, and I submitted them to Cliff Goldstein, who is the editor. And he looked at them, and he said, I like what I see. This is good stuff. And I said, well, then shall I continue to write? Do you think that you can publish it? And he said, well, this is unsolicited, and that's a different thing. You have to write the whole thing in order for us to even consider it. Mm. And that made me decide that probably I wouldn't want to go through this because it's time-consuming and I was very busy. So in the end, I kept feeling this impression from the Lord that you know, this was needed, and that probably will be acceptable to write it. So I invested all this time. It took me about 1 year to finish. Part-time, you know, I had to do it in my free time and so on. And it was a year, a little over a year, and finally I submitted them. And they again took like a year more to, you know, to tell me what they thought because all this, you know, committee system. And finally, they approved it and said that we will publish it. And this was about probably 3 years ago or 4 years ago that they said it will be published. And then they put it January 2011. At that time, it sounded like a very far date, but I was very grateful. And I give this credit to the Lord because at that impression, it would have been very human to say, forget it, I'm not going to go through this so that, you know, perhaps you don't publish it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Interesting background. And these lessons go around the world. They're not just used in America.
That is correct, yeah. Yes.
Larry, do you have any impressions of seeing this subject in front of you?
No, just very delighted that we have an opportunity to make this throughout the church system a topic for discussion, thought, and I think it can have some very positive outcomes in terms of encouraging people to have discussions that maybe they have held back on.
Hmm. And Larry, both you and I have backgrounds in pastoral counseling. That's been a focus of much of our graduate and professional life. Julian, from what sort of academic or personal background did you come at this general subject?
Well, I am a psychologist by training. I am a teacher and also a psychologist, and I have always had a lot of interest in interfacing Christianity with psychology. I have done a great deal of reading, and I have written a number of books in Spanish that usually for the layperson, semi-popular press, that will bring together psychological principles and applications of counseling techniques in the everyday life. How can one take a simple principle and help oneself to relax, to deal with someone in a more caring way, how to listen better, and a number of things that people who haven't read, they didn't know, but they are good tools for relationships and success in many areas.
Well, we, as we talk about this, and those who read the guides each week, will come to know exactly what you have described, and that is that these are wonderfully practical lessons that are based very firmly in Scripture and the stories that we learn as we read the Bible. I'm intrigued as we start out with the definition of emotions as being good, or does that mean that there are bad emotions as well? How can we justify classifying in those categories good or bad emotions?
Well, I think that the person who made that statement probably ought to defend it.
Well, that's going to be a hazard, I'm afraid, during our discussions here for the next several months, Julian, that we end up wanting to find out how it is you came up with these terms and classifications and ideas.
Well, a classic definition that differentiates one from the other is that emotions tend to elicit physiological processes. Feelings are more subtle, and they generally, at least the individual who experiences them, will not feel the pounding of the heart, won't feel the sweat coming out, won't feel the skin, you know, getting changes there. The feeling is some probably a mental process that will not reach the rest of the organism. Emotions will have a heavy physiological component there.
Yeah. Well, you turn to the physiological as the thing you tie to this. You know, I do have problems trying to label emotions as good or bad, or good or evil, or they're good feelings and they're bad feelings. I really think that emotions are integrally a part of being human. Emotions are, they in some respects are because of their, like you say, ties to our humanity. In some respects, are value-free, and it's what we do with them, essentially, that you then begin to attach words like that have moral connotation, like good or bad. Mm-hmm. Emotions are, mm-hmm. and essentially, they, I think, have an important function in what it means for us to be human, and essentially, they are for our benefit. And we can use them in very different ways for very different ends.
Hmm. Is there a sense in which what emotions produce makes the emotion itself either positive or negative? Or for you, is it not what it produces but what it does, Larry?
Well, I think if we understand the emotion and what it produces, that even that has its, I think, original intent or function, something very, very positive or helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we relate to that, sometimes we don't appreciate the or see that particular value taking place, particularly if, say, we've experienced a trauma, our whole brain mechanism is set up then to prevent, help in the recurrence of that kind of event or feeling. Mm. And yet our experience of that can be very troublesome. It can get in the way of what we want as far as life is concerned. And we can fail to see its useful and important function as intended, and so miss that point.
The Bible study guide for this week brings out the emotions that Jesus felt, a fairly wide range of feelings. Any one of those feelings particularly strike you, either in support of or kind of a surprise that this would rise out of Jesus?
Not a surprise. I read the gospel when I preparing this with a magnifying glass to identify indicators of Jesus's emotions, and I found more than I expected in the language that is used. And I was very glad to see that Jesus was pleased at certain situations and had compassion. Possibly compassion is the emotion that I encountered more times. Compassion of people who were hungry, compassion of people who were enslaved in a sinful life, compassion at the inhabitants of a city because it would be destroyed. I saw a lot of that, and I think it's just a great example of one of the most uplifting emotions that will bring about the right kind of behavior when one experiences compassion. Surprises, there is one time in the gospel when Jesus approaches the tomb of Lazarus and he expresses some sort of noise, in the phonation organs that I am not a Bible scholar, but I contacted someone and told me that would be the sound that the verb that is used for horses to snort, and it shows that Jesus had human emotions as we understand them, just as we understand them, and it was like a beginning of a whipping sound that came out of his utterance there, and it was recorded. I think that's a very good example of a moment of emotion.
This is a great introduction to what will be a very useful quarter of study about how our feelings integrate into life. Thank you, Julian Malgosa, Larry Viverka, for joining me, Daryl Bigger, from the campus of Walla Walla University, for The Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.